LW, GOM Reel 5.
Moving down the stairs into the darkness of the grounds below. We then were ordered by our officer to reconnoitre the area, but after an extensive search, nothing was found. The mystery, however, was solved the next day when we received a dispatch from Brigade Headquarters stating that a detachment of Suffolk cyclists were ordered to report for duty with us for communication purposes. Had that challenge not been made, I must admit that I would have fired my rifle at the first head which appeared at the top of the stairs, and I would have been charged with disobeying an order and would have killed one of the cyclists. That is why I shall remember all my days the timely challenge of my lance corporal, but unfortunately his warning voice was stilled forever a year later when he was killed in action. But I shall never forget young Woodruff as long as I live. After Mary Antoinette's jewels, I should have mentioned that in the early days, I was sent on a course with other full-rank NCOs to Wellington Barracks, which was the home of the Brigade of Guards. And I'm very happy to say that I survived a rigorous time of military discipline, which, although it stood me in good stead later during my army days, it was something that I wouldn't wish to do again. It was all spit and polish, and even the officers who were there, commissioned officers, who also had to undergo the course of training, and the sergeant major treated them just like a lot of boys. And I was very happy to shake the dust off the feet of my marching boots and get away from military discipline at its strictest. Five Brigade, 58th Division, British Expeditionary Force, France, 1916 to 1918. And the reference is S348, Mr. Malcolm Brown, producer, Documentary Department, BBC TV, Television Centre, Wood Lane, London, West 12, 7RJ, phone 01-743-8000, telex 265-781. It is customary when writing a novel to dedicate the book to a person or persons, and that is why I'd like to dedicate my take to The Fallen, with a little poem I composed when I left Bradford Military Hospital in Yorkshire on November 27, 1918, which goes like this. Lest we forget what they for us have done, we'll breathe a blessing ere each setting sun, in gratitude to each brave mother's son, lest we forget. so shall their memories be forever green. For all may worship at their shrine with devotion loyal that's ne'er been seen, and hold their passing as an act divine. I feel that I'm fully qualified as an active participant in the greatest human tragedy the world has ever seen, a global war, to record in brief my experiences, shorn of all the humbug and second-hand information of those who were never there, with only academic qualifications to guide them and to regale and edify their readers with what might have occurred. August 4th, 1914, war broke out. Earl Grey said the lights were going out, and they were. August 14, I heard Horatio Bottomley's spellbinding speech on Clapton Orient football ground and joined the PBI, the Poor Bloody Infantry, little realising that thousands would dodge the column and sleep soundly in their bad bed and made money while we, who had to do the fighting, were paid a shilling a day, half of which I allotted to my mother, a widow. We started training on Hackney Marshes, but as we had an ex-sergeant of the guards at our school before leaving, who taught us bayonet drill and much military technique, our second in command, a Major Walker, selected a number of us who might be suitable to become non-commissioned officers. And after giving us a brief oral examination and then a written one, the names of the successful ones would be posted on part two orders the following day. And I was very proud and pleased to think my name appeared and I was made a full corporal. Our first barracks was at the Well Street Hackney Workhouse, where we had to sleep on the floor. But after a short stay, we were transferred to the old Franco-British exhibition at Wood Lane, Shepherd's Bush. And we banked down on the concrete floor of the machinery hall, which was so vast and so bleak that many of the men had frostbite. From there, we moved to a big mansion called Oak Lodge at Lewisham in southeast London, which had belonged to Penn, the Thames Ironworks master, whose works were at West Ham, and that's why the football supporters still shout, "Up the iron," when they see their team playing. From there we went down to Crowbar in Sussex near Brighton, and after another short spell found ourselves at Ipswich in East Anglia. It was there that the first incident in my army life began. The Zeppelin raids had started, and at a beautiful mansion on the banks of the Orwell, which were nearing completion, it was reported that lights had been seen coming from the high tower of the building, and an officer, myself and two men, were detailed to occupy the building at night and withdraw again at daybreak. On the third night of our guard, the officer in the tower was making observations, whilst I, with a lance corporal, we were guarding the head of the huge staircase leading to the tower. We were all issued out with live ammunition, with instructions not to fire unless ordered to do so by our officer. Suddenly, we heard footsteps creeping slowly up the staircase, and we were both immediately alerted and pointed our rifles at the top stair. But without warning, my corporal shouted at the top of his voice, "Ho! Who goes there?" The challenge being followed by the intruders running back down the staircase into the darkness of the night. Our officer ordered us to reconnoitre the grounds of the mansion, but there was no trace of anyone. The mystery was solved, however, the following day when we received a dispatch from Brigade HQ stating that a detachment of Suffolk cyclists would be reporting for duty for communication purposes. But I shall be grateful all my days for the timely challenge of that little corporal whose warning voice is now stilled forever, as he was killed in action on the Somme 2 years later. But for him, little Georgie Woodruff, I would have been charged with disobeying an order and would have killed one of the cyclists, as I intended to fire when the first head appeared at the head of the staircase. I must digress for a moment here and come back to our colonel, sadly a Jackson. He left us in the Havrincourt sector in front of Cambrai and took up the appointment with the rank of Brigadier General of the 54th Infantry Brigade, with whom he stayed until March 1919, when he went from there to Archangel to join Ironside, as I've already described earlier in the tape, in an effort to prevent the Bolsheviks from taking control of Russia, which they did. I would like to mention here, with reference to my earlier army life in Blighty, of three experiences I had with prisoners in the guardroom. On the first occasion, I was detailed to take a young man to the funeral of his father in Hackney. And I had an escort with me, and we took the prisoner to Hackney, and I decided that I would not care to be present at the funeral because it was a very personal affair. And I called the prisoner to one side and told him that he had our sympathy in the loss of his father, but although my instructions were to take my escort and myself and be present at the graveside, this I just could not bring myself to do. And I'm willing to put you on your honour to report back to me this evening. You can stay with your family after the funeral and report back to me at 7 o'clock in front of the Hackney Empire. And he was very grateful and thanked me very much. And without any question at all, he was there before we were at this time, and we came back without any bother at all. And a week after that, the prisoner himself escaped again, and I don't think he ever joined the unit again. The second occasion was when I was in charge of the quarter guard in the workhouse at Well Street. And in taking over the guard, of course, one has to sign for the prisoners, see them, and question them. And on this occasion, I was warned that this particular prisoner was a very desperate man, and there were two members of the guard on guard outside his room, which was the guard room in another part of the building.